Welcome. My name is Jennifer Olson, and you are joining us for the first day of the new Executive Leadership Summit. I'm the creator and the facilitator and the interviewer for this summit, and I'm also featuring myself as a first guest so that you can get to know just a little bit about me and why I was so compelled to put this opportunity and event together for all of you. The truth is I have a real passion for building leaders all across all walks of life. Yet just 8 years ago, when I was looking for opportunities to build up my own leadership skills, I didn't find a lot of great programs or resources out there that truly allowed me to embody what I wanted to be as a leader. And so 8 years ago, I went looking for what would work, how I could go from a manager who was really helping people do their job every day to somebody who can motivate and inspire others to be their best and reach their best potential. And so that's a little bit about what my journey has been, and I'll be talking about that a little bit more. But in the meantime, I'm going to give you my bio, which is what I'm going to have all of the experts share with you as we go through with this process, so you have a sense of, you know, what my professional credentials are. So I have over 25 years of experience working in companies from startups to Fortune 500s, small family businesses to nonprofit and for-profit firms. As an expert in leadership and business development, I've been a successful leader and a strategic thinker with a broad base of experience in operations, in marketing, finance, strategic planning, program and culture development. And I've really spent years working with employees of all levels, including executives, managers, entrepreneurs, and boards, to forge new strategies that can really help them break through their plateaus and reach that next level of success. In 2000, I was the recipient of the Chuck Stuber Leadership Award from Columbia College Chicago. In 2009, I was a Boulder County Leadership Fellow. And in 2014, maybe my favorite award was that I was awarded Best Leader of the Year from my staff, which, honestly, that probably meant the most out of anything to date that I've received professionally. I'm a certified coach and a business consultant. I'm an energy leadership master practitioner, and I am a certified instructor in the art of presence. And this unique blend of credentials, it's enabled me to really weave proven business strategies with non-traditional physical, energetic, and values-based leadership practices that help business professionals and business owners fulfill their greatest potential. So now I've kind of given you an overview of what that professional profile looks like a little bit, but I'd really like to share a little bit more about me personally so that you can kind of get to know a little bit about the real me. So I've always wanted to be a leader. I was the firstborn, and so I think that was just part of who I wanted to be in the world. And I was always trying to do that. Honestly, if you ask my brother, I was always trying to do that by being bossy. And I didn't really know what it meant to be a leader versus a boss or a manager, you know, because I came out first. So that's just what you get sometimes in terms of the rights of birth. But as I came through life, you know, that lens, it started to change. I grew up in a family business where I was working from the age of 12. So I had some male leadership models, my dad, my uncle, my grandfather, who showed me what business looked like to them. Then I took a non-traditional path. I kind of decided that I no longer wanted to be in business and I wanted to be in the arts. So I became a singer and an actor. I then decided I didn't want to support myself through that, although I loved doing it. So I went into nonprofit management, where I could then merge my business and my leadership skills. I started out in corporate working for places like Key Bank and Kraft Foods, although I wasn't really feeling it from a motivational standpoint. I was feeling, you know, money wasn't a huge motivator for me at the time. Impact was. So I then went over to the nonprofit realm, which I've worked in for a while, specifically in education. I'm also a wife. I've been married, oh man, a lot of years, 13, 14 years. I'm a mother. I have two daughters, one who's 7 and one who's 9. And all of those things are really hugely, hugely important to me. They are part of who I am, my values and my structure. They also have been the impetus for me building as a leader. I am a breadwinner in my family. And it's my job to make sure that people are fed and that we have a roof over our house that I provide financially. So that has been kind of a game changer a little bit for me in how I've developed as a leader. And now I kind of want to give you an overview of, you know, what I'm doing now in my business and what I'm seeking to do as a leader. So as I talked a little bit about, I came through business and then I also came through nonprofit work. I've been an executive director. I've been a COO. I've been a director of operations. So I've really tracked in helping businesses and the employees that work under them be aligned in vision and be aligned in mission. And I've been brought in as a troubleshooter and as somebody who deals really well with challenges to get businesses and people to the next level. And I was pretty successful at that. In 2015, I started my own business. It's called Develop Solutions, and that's spelled DVLP Solutions. And I am its president and its chief leadership officer. And the dream behind this business was really to create and support a movement of leaders who strive for global impact, strong relationships throughout the community, shared profitability that takes care of people as well as the planet, and true lasting change that makes the world a better place. That's a lot, but I think that that's exactly what we need to do as leaders. And one thing that I do every day to step forward in that vision is I take stock of what my own purpose is, what my own values are, and what my own priorities are, and how they merge then with my companies. And I look over my to-do list, and things that serve that mission, those values, they stay on as my top 5 things to do for the day, and those that don't are taken off my list. And that's how I make sure that I'm in integrity with what I'm trying to create in my business. But like in any person's leadership path, there are moments of success and there are moments where we make a lot of mistakes and where there may be failure. And I don't think anyone can be successful without making and learning from mistakes along the way. Because for all leaders, somewhere in their journey lies failure. So as I walk through and talk to our experts, I'm going to be on a mission to talk about the mistakes and the failures more, because we are not comfortable talking about them and we need to get more comfortable. Because when leaders step up and are vulnerable and share what the real path to leadership looks like, the people around them are more engaged and they're more trusting and they understand that it's not that the people they're seeing in front of them are perfect, but rather that we are just like everybody else, that we are flawed, and that we stumble as much as we succeed. And that's what the entire journey is about. So I want us to get really comfortable with sharing failures so that we can know how to truly stretch and how to really learn from all of these mistakes. So I want to share with you now a failure in my own journey and what it taught me through that process. So I went to work for an organization back in 2010. It was a great organization with a great mission. I was being brought in as an executive director to take it to its next level. And what was interesting is, you know, the first 2 weeks, I was super excited. It's a small organization, so I had a small staff. But I was tasked with bringing, you know, in broadening its impact, bringing in more money for the great cause that it was leading, and really taking us all to the next level. But within 2 weeks of being at this organization, I realized that there was a serious problem. I was seeing red flags all over the place, and I wasn't exactly sure why, but what I knew was that it had something to do with their finances. So at the time, the organization had a financial consultant that was outside of the organization. And I called that person up and I said, what is it that I'm seeing? And what is it that I don't fully know? Because I had, before I took the job, I looked at the financials. They looked strong. But there was something off. There was really something off. And it turns out that while it wasn't on paper, the organization, you know, it was a fairly small organization. Just, I think it had a $1 to $2 million budget. It was in the red $500,000 because of they had made some bad choices around how they were distributing funds. And that was a huge blow. 2 weeks into a job to find out that I was $500,000 in the red and had to figure out how to get money moving very, very quickly in order to pay my staff and to do the work that I was brought in to do. And it was, wow, it was a huge blow. I don't know what else to say. I, of course, after mourning, because I don't know what other word to use, you know, I really was sad that I had walked into the situation. So I had to mourn for the fact that things had changed. And then I got down to work. I put together a plan of how I thought as an organization we could quickly get to a different place. But again, what I didn't know is this organization, there was a foundation wing and there was an association wing because it was a nonprofit. And I was leading the foundation. What I didn't know was the culture itself was really sick. For years, they had, you know, I think it was maybe 15, 20 employees. And they had really been running up against what I call toxic syndrome, which is where there was a lot of drama on the floor. There was a lot of people who were burnt out and unhappy. And this culture was permeating at all levels. The board, who are a bunch of overachievers and amazing people, but running really fast themselves. They were tired and they were stressed. The staff also was feeling that way. And so at all levels, everybody was having a really hard time feeling healthy, being healthy, and enjoying the work they were doing, even though they were doing amazing work. And so there was a number of uphill battles that were happening at all levels of this organization that even though I had done all of my due diligence and I had done everything that I could to figure out what kind of job I was walking into, it really, the circumstances were much different than anything I had imagined. And so I was at that job about 2.5 years, and during that time, we worked really hard to improve the finances, and we certainly brought it back in the black. But what I wasn't able to do is I wasn't able to win over and shift the culture at all levels of the organization. So it still struggled financially. It still struggled emotionally, and it struggled energetically to believe in itself at the board level and at the staff level. And when you have that kind of misalignment at the board level, no matter what you do as a leader, it's really almost impossible to be successful, because to change a culture, you have to get everybody on board in a different vision. And I wasn't able to do that. So after 2.5 years of really working hard, making myself sick in the effort, and having minimal shifts and minimal success in bringing us further along, I chose to leave the organization because it was going to mean my physical health or letting the organization figure out that they needed a different path. So that was a pretty big moment for me, in that I got to learn that my values and my health were more important than any job I was walking into. And this has been something that has been repeated to me over and over my career. And thankfully, I've started to listen to that. But that failure was a pretty big moment for me. How do I want to show up? How do I want to lead? And what do I want to do when I get in places? So for every leader on their journey, there's also, you know, some skills, some strategies and tools that they're passionate about learning because it was the key or the catalyst to their own personal and professional success, you know, kind of like their own aha or transformational moment, so to speak. So I want to talk just a little bit about what that was for me and how I got on my path to leadership. So I've spoken a little bit about this. I figured I first said, what do I want? What is my purpose here? What do I want in life, both personally and professionally? What are my top values? And then what are the priorities? Because what I found out right away was my priorities, not surprisingly, were my family, my children, my husband. Not surprisingly, I barely made the top five myself. You know, my health and wellness wasn't at the top. But work was also at the bottom. And yet all my time was flipped. I was spending more time working than I was taking care of myself, spending time with my kids or my husband. And that was having huge ramifications in my life. My marriage was shaky. My kids, who were just toddlers at the time, they really weren't spending the time with me. And thankfully, they were young and I could shift what I was doing. But that was a pretty potent realization for me. So that was the first thing, was really figuring out what was important and starting to live my life based on those priorities and not trying to run after what success looked like so that I could feel like I was successful. So the second thing that really helped me start embodying this life differently is I started working on my physical presence. Now, it might not sound like a big tool, but this was a game changer for me. Once I had my values and my priorities, how do I live that each and every day in a way that is not just floating around in my head, but that can be fully embodied throughout my physical form so that when I walk down the street, I look like I have purpose. I look like I'm confident. People trust me because I feel grounded and I feel like I know who I am. So working on my physical presence, it allowed me to embody things in a completely different way. As a leader, I was very heady. I was in strategy all the time. I was always working out how to deal with complex problems, and I wasn't in my body much. So when I learned how to pull that in, be fully present throughout my body, the way that people responded to me was completely different. They knew that I was somebody they could follow. They saw me as competent. They saw me as capable. They believed me. They trusted me. And they were willing to do whatever it took as long as I held that space of, you know, showing that I had what it took. So that was a game changer for me. And it's something that I teach throughout my leadership courses, and it's something that I do with business owners, because if we don't have leadership and if we don't know how to embody that in our physical form, then we certainly cannot motivate and inspire others around us to do the same. So you've heard a little bit about what my challenges and my failures have been and what some keys were to what really helped me get on track for success as a leader. Now I want to talk a little bit about what is really important to me in terms of what I teach through my company and through some of my programs, because I think it'll be really helpful to so many of you who are about to be on that leadership path, maybe on the leadership path, but aren't really feeling it fully, or maybe you've been on it for a really long time, but you know, there's something off and there's something amiss. So whether you're a business professional or a business owner, there are three key elements that must be aligned in order for you to be successful in leading an organization or in leading your own business. The first is, you know, we've been talking about it. You need to have leadership. So that means that you need to own yourself as a leader and then also be able to create environments which allow for conditions where everyone can do their most creative thinking together, okay? And we'll talk about that more in a little bit. The second is business strategy. You have to have the business resources and all of the resources, the time, and all of the necessary pieces and strategies to come together in order to be successful. And the third is you have to have a team of people, both personally and professionally, that are helping support your success, because none of us get there alone. So let me go back and talk a little bit about the first piece, which is leadership. So in order to be a leader, let's define it. A leader is a person who motivates themselves and others into action towards achieving a goal. They inspire and motivate people towards that goal. So they're motivating themselves as well as others. And when they are able to motivate themselves, only then can they really participate in leadership, which again is an activity in which conditions are created in which everyone can do their most courageous thinking together. So in my own work, the four areas that I work on that I see as the building blocks of leadership are the first one, your physical leadership. So that is your physical form. And that is the qualities of stamina, tolerance for stress. What is your personal presence and how you embody that? And when you do it well, you are trustworthy, believable, credible, confident, and memorable. The second building block is emotional leadership. And I just talked about what those aspects are, right? That's your sense of purpose and your mission, the why you get out of bed each and every day as a leader and as a person, what your values are, and that you're living to those values, your priorities, and your strengths. So if you don't know what those are, you certainly can't lead yourself. And no one else around you is going to want to follow you because they don't know who you are. The third building block of leadership is energetic leadership. This is how, you know, your lifetime has created your core thoughts and beliefs, how those then lead to an emotion, and then how those together lead to action. So when your core thoughts and beliefs come up every day and lead you to action, are they leading you towards constructive behavior or are they leading you to destructive behavior? For all of us, they're leading us in both directions, depending upon how we relate to others and how we deal with stress. So that's something that I help leaders and business owners do is, okay, so what's really serving you? What thoughts, what's beliefs, and how are those serving you every day, and what's not? And let's find out what those are and how to change those. The last piece is relational leadership. So with all of us, the most influential leaders are the people that are empathetic, that can build relationships with themselves and others around them. And when they do this, they build a sense of community. They strengthen their personal and professional networks, and they're able to create these synergistic business moments, both virtually and in real time, because they have built relationships that support their success in business. So those are the four building blocks of leadership: physical, emotional, energetic, and relational leadership. And again, the other two components you need are business strategy. So with my business owners, we talk a lot about what that strategy looks like and how to get them going very quickly so that they can get some money in the door. And we also talk a lot with leaders about, and business owners, about who their team is supporting them. Because if you have a team that is working against you, you know, they're burnt out and they don't want to show up to work. They're family members who don't believe in what you're doing in a business, and they're kind of, you know, they're giving some negative feedback regularly. That makes us all struggle. We, as leaders and business owners, we are always running up against our own fear, against the critics, and we have to build a place where we can be successful and we can feel successful. So we have to have those strong teams, those coaches, those mentors, our strong friends and family who are there to support us, our strong employees that know what they're doing and they have our backs. We have to have those people in order to be successful. So again, leadership, business strategy, and team. One thing that I'm really excited about leadership today is, you know, there's a lot of challenges in the world, and that's always been true. But it's certainly true now, right? There's global warming, there's financial challenges, there's political challenges. You know, we're constantly being bombarded with messages about all the things that are influencing our world. And I personally believe that if we're going to be able to tackle these challenges, that we need to build communities of leadership across our environments. So that means up and down in our companies. That means across our social structures. We need to inspire and motivate others to step up into leadership because it takes all of us. It takes each and every one of us and the perspectives that we bring to the table to come up with solutions that are going to benefit us in the long run, whether that's increased profit and productivity in our companies, whether that's figuring out some of our social challenges, whether that's more of the global impact across global warming or how countries get together. It's going to take a lot of different perspectives working together for the greater good. And so my belief is that we really need to get out there and teach everybody at every level how to step up into leadership. And what's exciting to me today is that I'm starting to see that more and more. There's more people out there that are being more socially conscious and more socially responsible through business. There are more people really encouraging others to step into their potential to be leaders. And there's more talk about it in the media and in the community about we need more people who really want things to be different. So that is hugely exciting to me, and something that I hope just continues to grow, and I hope I can be part of that movement as it does grow in my capacity as a coach who does leadership development and business development. Now we're at one of my favorite times, where we're about to enter the lightning round, where I get to provide a series of questions to myself as well as to all the other experts, and then we get to come back with some great, fast, amazing, mind-blowing answers. So the first question I ask each expert is, what was holding you back from becoming a leader? And for me, I was worried that no one would follow or that nobody would listen if I did step into leadership. So I guess it was a bit of fear and that I didn't have what it took to be a leader. Next question is, what is the best advice that I've ever received? Well, I was thinking about this, and I think the piece of advice that I've taken to heart the most, I'm not sure it was the best, but it's certainly something that has kind of been a compass for me, is my dad told me, and he was talking specifically around a job, but he told me to always be looking for opportunities. And while he meant that in terms of employment, you know, when you're in a company, no matter what position you have, always look for, you know, what else may be out there and whether or not you're suited to stepping into that next step. I've really expanded that. And I've used this to see what are all the opportunities in front of me at any given time, whether that's business or personal. What are the opportunities for joy? What are the opportunities for, for believing in myself? What are my opportunities for profit and productivity? What are my opportunities for partnership, for building friends, for building networks, for building people who want to help me leverage business? I love to think about opportunities and not just think about them, but really go after things that may be opportunities because, you know, I might fail, but I certainly will never get anywhere if I don't try and capitalize on everything that I see in front of me. The third question is, can I share one of my personal habits that I believe contributes to my success? So I've talked a lot about, kind of the cornerstone, my purpose, mission, values. So I use those each day. I revisit my values and my priorities. And I look at the five things that I think are on my plate each day to say, am I living according to those values and those priorities? And if I'm not, I need to shift. So that's the first thing I do. And then I look at what are my first five things that I'm doing and does that support it? The second thing I do is I have a morning routine that I do every day. And this was introduced to me by Rachel Jane Groover, who is the next leadership expert that you're going to get to hear. But so my morning routine, it's always the same, which, again, I super appreciate. So I get up. I work out in the morning. If I'm first of all, I make sure I get enough rest. If I don't get enough rest, that's my first and foremost. So if I don't get enough rest, I may work out. But if I do get enough rest, I work out for 30 minutes because I want to get my body moving. I then do meditation. I do a physical form of meditation, which takes about 10 minutes. I make sure I eat a really healthy breakfast so that I at the table with my family so that I'm nourishing my body and I'm increasing my energy for the day. And then I walk to my office and you know, do that values and priority exercise. So that's my morning routine. And my last question is, do I have any internet resource that I'm in love with that I'd love to share with you all, my listeners? So the thing that I used to commute all the time with every job I ever had. In Chicago, I had an hour commute. Here in Denver, I had a 45-minute commute. So something that has been a mainstay of mine and been hugely helpful in developing my leadership ability is I listen to podcasts all the time. If I'm in the car, I'm usually not listening to the radio. I'm listening to podcasts. I'm listening to leadership podcasts. I'm listening to health podcasts. I'm listening to sex podcasts. I'm listening to everything because I think we get ideas from all sorts of things and we're really multifaceted people. So I listen to a lot of experts in a lot of different areas of life because that inspires and that motivates me each and every day to be my best. So I would say that to you all. Find a podcast or two that you love and listen to them when you are traveling to work or if you're working out, whenever you have a moment to listen, to just hear different ideas that may spark a bit of creativity in you. And so now I'm at the point where I get to offer you all a free gift, which I'm excited about. Each and every one of our experts are going to be offering a free resource and gift to each one of you. So make sure you're listening and make sure you're there for these gifts because some of them are going to be time sensitive. And I want each and every one of you to get the most out of these that you can. So for today, I am offering two resources. The first is I have online, I have a leadership assessment and I have a business health assessment. So depending upon if you're if you're a leader and you want to really know about your leadership potential, or if you're a business owner and are interested more in a holistic view on the health of your business, your leadership and your team, those are two assessments that I'm going to have as resources that you can download and take. And then the second piece to that is for everybody, I'm offering a leadership strategy session, a 20-minute free leadership strategy session where we can quickly go over your results of either assessment, and then we can talk about what you really want as a next step in your leadership development. And I would love to be able to talk to every one of you and support you on those next steps. So if you'd like to learn more about those resources and utilize them yourself, you can find links to those and everything else that we've been talking about in today's interview by going to developsolutions.com/leadership summit. That's DVLPsolutions.com/leadership summit. So I have loved talking to you all today. It's been an interesting twist because I don't have anybody who's interviewing me or in conversation, but I've had all of you to think about and to talk directly with, which has been, it's been an awesome experience. And I hope that you've gotten a lot from what I've shared today. And please stay on the summit for the duration because we have some amazing, amazing experts who are going to give you so much good information that it will no doubt take you to a much different place than you are today as a leader. So make sure that you tune in each and every day for the leaders. So again, thank you so much. I appreciate each and every one of you and the path that you are on. And again, I want you to go and find links for the resources that I shared today and everything else we've been talking about for this interview and all the interviews going forward. You can find that information at developsolutions.com/leadershipsummit. And while you're there, I would really, really love to hear from you. I want to know what you loved about today's interview. And I want you to ask any questions that you're dying to know as we go through this process. I make sure that we will answer you. We'll get the answers, whether those answers are from me or from each and every leadership expert that's on this call. We'll make sure that in real time we'll get you the answers. So don't be afraid. Get on there. Tell us what you loved. Tell us what you want to know, and we'll make sure we get it for you. So with that, I'm saying goodbye for now. Thank you so much, and go out and be the leader that you were meant to be. This is Jennifer Olson, and we'll catch you next time.